Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to begin in verse 18 and read through verse 35. Luke 7, 18 through 35. This is God's Word. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees, experts in the law, rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children, sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. John the Baptist was God's chosen forerunner, whose job it was in life to prepare the way for Jesus. He was the advance team, this older cousin of Jesus, just months older. John had been chosen by God and assigned the responsibility of introducing Jesus. And John had done so. When Jesus came to where John was baptizing, John pointed him out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said what God gave him to say. He recognized that Jesus is the Messiah. He knew it, he said, you can read elsewhere in the Gospels, because he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son." He saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in bodily form like a dove after Jesus was baptized. When Jesus asked John to baptize him, John said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." John referred to Jesus as one who was so holy and so exalted that John said, "I'm not good enough to be the one who unties his sandal and washes his feet. The least of his slaves, I'm not that good." So why would John ask a question like this? Why would he send these guys to say, are you the one? Or should we be looking for someone else? Why would he ask such a question? John was in prison. John was suffering because he had preached the truth. He had taken a stand against the wickedness of the ruler who was governing that area. And because he spoke out relentlessly about that guy's sin, he'd been imprisoned. And he would later be killed. Well, you know, after a while, if God doesn't do things the way you thought he was going to, you start to wonder what's up. Book of Proverbs says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." In other words, if you're expecting something and it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come, after a while you can start to get discouraged. And when you're discouraged, you don't think straight. You start to question things that you know. Our feelings can be so strong that if we allow them to, they will overcome our thoughts. We have multitudes of people right now in our society and even in our churches who are struggling with thoughts of self-harm and even self-destruction. Why? Why have a number of high-profile preachers in the last year taken their own lives? Don't they know better? Well, the problem is sometimes even when you know something, you feel differently. And you've got to decide whether we're going to behave based on what we know or based on what we feel. If we make our decisions based on what we feel, we're going to make a whole lot of bad decisions. Well, you just have to follow your heart. Hold on. I would not recommend that. Well, you know, some things we don't understand, but we just have to go with what we feel. Not a good plan. Not a good plan. You need to go on the basis of what you know, not what you feel.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
John, who knew better, asked a question because it's like, Jesus, this is not going according to plan. It was going according to plan, just not John's plan. John knew what he wanted. He knew how he wanted things to work out. He knew what he was expecting. He had dedicated his life to this. He'd been a disciplined guy. He'd been a courageous guy. And it was about to cost him his life. He thought, since Jesus is the Messiah, he's going to turn things around. He's going to set things up. He himself, as I already mentioned, had said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," but he wasn't really thinking in terms of Jesus dying to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Well, the Lamb gets slain. But John's thinking, no. You're supposed to overthrow Rome. That's what everybody wanted. That's what everybody was waiting for. That was going to be victory. That was not God's plan. And so John sent messengers to ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus responded in a very beautiful way. He did a bunch of miracles of healing right there in front of the messengers. It says that he did many miracles, healing those who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. And he gave sight to many who were blind. Notice the word many is used twice there. Because the emphasis is, it wasn't like, okay, let's see, there's a blind guy. Bring him over here. And Jesus healed him. No, there were many. He worked a bunch of miracles. A whole bunch of people got healed. And Jesus said to John's disciples, you go back and you tell him what you saw and you tell him what you heard. And then he uses wonderful statements from the book of Isaiah to describe what he's just done and what they have just seen. Isaiah chapter 26, chapter 29, chapter 35, chapter 42, and chapter 61. These messianic prophecies that talk about what God is going to do through the Messiah when his kingdom is being established. That, Jesus says, is what you've just seen, including chapter 61, verse 1, which says he's going to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. And then he says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Hang in there, John. You go back and tell him that. He'll be blessed if he doesn't fall away. So they leave, and after they leave, Jesus says some things here about John. And what does he say? Well, he starts with some rhetorical questions. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Were you going out there to observe the plants? Is that what you'd compare John to? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? John was famous for wearing a camel hair coat, and it's not the kind they sell at Brooks Brothers. He wore something that was not tailored. It was not fancy. It wasn't like, wow, where did he get that? Okay? He says, no, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. Well, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. When Jesus says that, he's telling them two things. One is who John is. The other is who he is. Because John was sent as a messenger to prepare the way for Messiah in fulfillment of the scriptures. Now, they didn't necessarily get that. But we need to, because Jesus isn't just telling us something about John, he's telling us something about himself. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. But then Jesus says something that most people, even in the church, don't seem to believe. I tell you, among those born of women, there's no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What? How can he be the greatest man born naturally? How can he be the greatest and yet be the least? In fact, less than the least in the kingdom. Because the least in the kingdom is greater than John. What? Within the church and within church history, there are a whole lot of folks who want to believe, apparently, that the new covenant is pretty much just an updated version of the old covenant. I mean, and so they study the Old Testament, which is good. We should study the Old Testament. It's God's word. But they study the Old Testament, and then instead of realizing that the New Testament is the fulfillment of that and takes us into a whole different relationship, they think it's same thing going on. The psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's a great verse to pray. The psalmist in that psalm says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's not a prayer for Christians. That was a great prayer for the psalmist. But the reason I don't have to pray that God won't take his Holy Spirit from me is because God has promised that those who are born again are sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. The reason that I can't lose my salvation is the same reason that I couldn't gain my salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, I've known people who, you know, I mean, they raised their hand, they went forward, they got baptized, and for a while there it looked like they were really doing good. In fact, one of them I'm thinking of went into the ministry. He became a pastor. And now I look at him and I'm thinking he has lost his salvation. No, he's just shown what he was. You don't lose your salvation because God doesn't lose you. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit gives you new life and he guarantees your eternal life. It's not something you can lose. Are there many who fall away? Yeah, absolutely. And the New Testament talks about that. It talks about how a dog returns to its vomit. You know why a dog returns to its vomit? Goes back and licks it up. Have you ever seen a dog do that? It's gross. Have you ever seen that? Oh, gross. I've seen people who live like that. People who said the right stuff and for a while seemed to do the right stuff. But then they go back and they just embrace that life that they had left. I'm not talking about they commit a sin. I'm talking about they choose a lifestyle of sin. Why does a dog return to its vomit? Anybody know? Because it's a dog. Why does a pig go back to the mud? Because it's a pig. Why does Jesus say, don't cast your pearls before swine? Because apparently Jesus thinks some people are more like animals than they are like what God intended us to be. Now, in the kingdom, God's doing a new thing. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to believe the gospel. Because the gospel says that when I receive Jesus, I am not only forgiven for my sins and delivered from the threat of eternal punishment, but God himself comes to live inside of me. Your body, Paul writes to the Corinthians, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's not okay for you to just treat it any way you want, do whatever you feel like. You don't own yourself if you're a Christian. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34, God promised he was going to do something new. It was going to be different. And you see, this was what was promised. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. I want you to hear that. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband of them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Wow. That's God's promise. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Please underline that. That's John 7:39. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. After Jesus died and rose again, then the Spirit would be given as never before. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Because whereas before there was a veil there, a curtain, and you couldn't go inside that place without the penalty of death. Only the high priest was allowed to go, and that was only once a year with sacrificial blood to put there on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the way is open. We can come directly to the throne of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All the sacrificial system, all of that was pointing to what he would do. And now it is finished, Jesus said from the cross. He's done it. That's why we're not under the Old Testament law. The sacrificial system and all that went with it pointed to Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Folks, what we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and let God do what he wants through us, because we have been blessed to have an intimate relationship with God that Moses didn't have, that Abraham didn't have, that David didn't have. Jesus says the least in the kingdom is in a better position than all those Old Testament saints, including John the Baptist. Say, well, does that mean those people aren't saved? No, it means that they didn't get to experience what all real Christians get to experience, because God now has come to live within us. Jesus said, he that is with you shall be in you. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in the heart of a believer.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.